असा साधना उदा सिद्धस्य भावस्य प्राकट्यम् हृदि साध्यता. When transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service in practice. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyanani. When transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service in practice. So Hare Krishna. So in our, after long gap we are meeting. In our previous classes, we were discussing about the general description of devotional service. The general description means the description of pure devotional service. Wherein Rupa Goswami talks about the six characteristics of devotional service. That is Kleshagni, Shubhada, Moksha Laguta Krit, Sudurlava, Sandrananda Visheshatma, Sri Krishna Akarshane Sacha. That is bhakti, devotional service to Krishna in particular, has the characteristics in it mitigates all the miseries. That is the first qualification. That is the first character. Then as in the miseries are mitigated, one experiences bliss. And then as one experiences the bliss in devotional service, desire to become one with God or desire to be freed from the miseries of material world and even the desire to go back to the spiritual world, to the Vaikuntha planet, also becomes insignificant. Moksha Laguta Krit, Sudurlaba. And such devotional service is very rarely achieved. Like in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, in the third canto, there is a description of bhakti in different modes. Sattva guna, Raja guna and Tamo guna. This was explained by Maitreya Rishi to Vidura. He said bhakti in mode of ignorance, bhakti in mode of passion, bhakti in mode of ignorance, in goodness. But then he explains, bhakti means which is freed from all kind of contamination that we have already discussed. That bhakti means which is freed from the modes of material nature. But some other Kapil Muni explains that bhakti can be tinged with these gunas, but that is not pure devotional service. And in the fourth canto, Maitreya Muni elaborates in these three aspects. One is bhakti in the mode of ignorance that was exhibited by Daksha Prajapati. He accepted Lord Vishnu as supreme, but still the basic quality in him was that he was angry, he was violent, he was offensive to other devotees. So therefore one should not say that, okay, how is that he is a devotee and still is angry? In strict sense, he is not actually a pure devotee. He accepts Lord Vishnu as supreme, but still he has these qualities of mode of passion and ignorance. And then again, Dhruva Maharaj's example is given in the fourth canto. He stands for mode of passion. He accepts Lord Vishnu as supreme, but there is desire for prestige. There is desire for fame. There is desire for mundane success. So that is exhibited in the form of Dhruva Maharaj, attaining something which was never attained by anybody, much higher than his great-grandfather Lord Brahma. That is bhakti in the mode of passion. Accepting Lord Vishnu means the devotee, but if these qualities of gunas are there, then it is covered with passion or ignorance or sattva guna. And then again in the fourth canto, Maitreya Muni explains to Vidur, bhakti in the mode of goodness, that is Prithu Maharaj. What is the definition of bhakti in the mode of goodness? In the goodness, a devotee of the Lord, he performs his activities, occupational duties, but at the same time he wants to be freed from the reactions of his occupational duties. Therefore, all of his fruits he offers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he should not be affected by the reaction of his activities. So Prithu Maharaj, he performed 99 yajñas. Again, that is also not pure. There is a competition between Indra and Prithu Maharaj. Such kind of devotional service sometime might rise to envying other entities also. Indra is also a devotee, but he became fearful of the practice of devotional service of Prithu Maharaj. Therefore, these kind of devotional service, they will not give complete satisfaction to the performer and also those who see that performance of devotional service. Daksha's devotional service was not satisfying. Dhruva Maharaj's devotional service, yes, it satisfied Lord Vishnu, but while he was performing his devotional service, because he was meditating upon Lord Vishnu within his heart, it is explained in the Bhagavad, all the demigods in the heavenly planets got suffocated. That's how they approached Lord Vishnu, saying that we are being suffocated by his performance of tapasya, please help us. Then Lord Vishnu came down to meet Dhruva Maharaj, and by seeing Lord Vishnu, eventually Dhruva Maharaj got purified. He lamented for asking such a material benediction from Lord Vishnu. So herein, Rupa Goswami, after speaking the general descriptions of devotional service, which is basically pure devotional service, then he comes back how to attain that pure devotional service. What is the process? One may be affected by these gunas. As Prabhupada explains in the beginning of this chapter, that we see different people with different inclinations. Some people have natural inclination to study scriptures. They are much closer to understand Krishna. Their understanding is much closer. And then eventually they can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead than those who have no inclination to study scriptures. Those who are naturally attracted to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they are more inclined to practice rigorous devotional service. As Krishna explains in the 7th chapter, amongst 4 kinds of people, Artho, Artharthi, Jnani and Jigyasu. Who is more dear to Krishna? One who is in knowledge. One who seeks knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Krishna. And when we say practice of devotional service, Prabhupada gives a very brilliant example. When we say practice of devotional service, it is not that devotional service is foreign to us. It is not something which we are fascinated, which is foreign, and then we try to attain that. It is not just like a sense object coming into contact with the senses. What does it do? It titillates the senses. Then we artificially try to attain it, which is not our natural characteristics. Just like we can take example. By seeing others play, some other children might feel that, okay, I also want to play. Then his parents spend money on him. He goes for practice. And only up to certain level he can come to perfection. And only up to certain years. Just like if any famous cricketer, however big that person is, he has to suffer different kinds of pains. Why? Because playing cricket is not natural for him. Once he becomes old, he has to retire. Rather than that activity increasing and becoming natural for him, eventually by the passing of the age, that becomes foreign to him. Why? Because it was anyway foreign, and eventually it becomes foreign. Similarly, Prabhupada explains, this desire to worship the Lord is there even in the aborigines. That shows that bhakti is not foreign, bhakti is there within the heart of the living entity. Even if you go to the jungles, you'll find aborigines there. There naturally, if they see something very wonderful, very big, then what do? They fold their hands. If they see huge river, they offer their obeisances. If they see huge mountains, they offer their obeisances. If they find huge tree, naturally they bend down. What does it indicate? It indicates that there is a natural propensity to serve God. But unfortunately, because of their condition, it is covered over. The clarity of whom to worship is not there, but the principle of worship is there even amongst the aborigines. Prabhupada gives another example. Just like a small child. When the child is very small, just becoming bigger and bigger, he is always sheltered by the mother. He is in the lap of his mother. And then slowly, slowly the child starts to walk, or in fact trying to walk. And every time the child tries to walk, what happens? Immediately the child falls. Now, just because the child is falling repeatedly, mother does not go and break his limbs, that you are useless, you cannot walk. What does the mother do? She in fact encourages the child. Why? Because the mother knows that the potential of walking is there in the child. And by the practice, the child learns the art which is already there as his potential. But if the child is lame, handicapped, then however much the parents try to make the child walk, because it is not there, that potential is not there, even if you try the child to make walk, he can never walk. The potential has to be there. That means, walking is not foreign for the child. It has to learn. Similarly, a musician. It is not that the musicians are made, that potential is already there. When the connection is established, and suddenly they become famous. Artist, just like when that famous sculptor Michelangelo was asked, what do you see in this rock? How do you chip off the stones? How do you carve the deities? He said, I don't know anything. Actually the deity or the figure is already existing. I only chip off extra marble. That means the artist who has the potential of seeing beyond what others see can only draw or sculpt something. Why? Because the potential is there. I can take all the same azul, paint and brush, same kind of canvas, but I cannot paint. Why? Because the potential is not there. But Haridas Thakur Prabhu can easily paint. Why? Because the potential is there. So any art is given to living entity according to his karma, and by practice means which is already there, he evokes what is there already within his karma. But devotional service is not like that. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is explained that for any other activity there is a requirement of time. There is a requirement of circumstances. And there is also a requirement of a person. So that means that any activity you want to perform, if you fit into that, then you are allowed to do. But devotional service is not like that. Devotional service, there is no need for time, place and circumstances. Why? Because devotional service is naturally there in the heart of the living entity. When the right connection is established, then what happens? he immediately evokes all the potential of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the practice means what? Try to evoke what is already within our consciousness. It is not foreign. All other process is something which is outside. Even the yoga practice, those who perform Hatha Yoga, how long can they practice? Because it is foreign. As long as the body is flexible, it is dexterous, then he can do it. But eventually he has to become old and he cannot function as he used to function when he was young. But devotional service is not there. Devotional service is not like that. Once we start practicing devotional service and continue to practice as prescribed in the Shastra, gradually one's realizations, one's understanding of Krishna, one's affection for the devotional service, one's affection for the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply keeps on increasing. Even if somebody is influenced by the time factor which deteriorates the senses, his intensity for Krishna is not reduced as seen in the other activities. It doesn't happen. Rather, it keeps on increasing. So that is called as sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means it is not something foreign, but it is already there. But when we apply the process of Krishna consciousness in practice, then the dormant love for Krishna will be awakened. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatan Goswami, called as Sanatan Shiksha. In Sanatan Shiksha, Lord Chaitanya explained this principle. What is the basic characteristic of sadhana bhakti? Rupa Goswami speaks two characteristics of sadhana bhakti. One is that the main characteristic of sadhana bhakti is shravanam and kirtanam. And the marginal characteristics of sadhana bhakti is that awakening of love of God. That is the marginal characteristics. So sadhana bhakti involves shravanam kirtanam. Nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabunai shravanadi chitta siddha karyo udai. That when someone hears about Krishna, someone speaks about Krishna in the form of reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, by chance or by the association of devotees, he allows himself to hear about Krishna and Krishna's activities, then what happens? The dormant love for Krishna is awakened within the heart. And slowly, slowly, as he increases to hear more about Krishna, he speaks more about Krishna, that much Krishna becomes more and more clear in the heart of the living entity. His love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead keeps on increasing. Sometimes it is seen that while performing sadhana bhakti, one may continue to experience the power of rajogun and tamogun. Then one might complain, how is that I am practicing devotional service for so many years? Still, why not I am completely purified? Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his writings, as long as conditioned soul executes bhakti under the influence of the material mind and senses, his endeavor is known as sadhana bhakti. Once again, that as long as conditioned soul executes bhakti under the influence of the material mind and senses, his endeavor is known as sadhana bhakti. That means sadhana bhakti means we have the material mind. We have our material senses. And the sense objects are also there. So when the mind and senses are material, and with that material mind and senses, when we endeavor to practice devotional service, that is called as sadhana bhakti. Therefore, naturally in sadhana bhakti, there will be many, many reversals. Like one time, one person came to a monastery and he asked the person in the monastery, a saint, he said, what do you do here? What is your activity?
And the monk said, what do? I rise, I fall. I rise, I fall. I rise and I fall. The person did not understand. What do you mean by that? You rise and you fall. He said, because I'm a practitioner, and in my practice, because my senses are involved, when I endeavor to become pure as much it is required, I see there are many pitfalls. I keep falling in the path of my practice of God consciousness. But that does not make me hopeless. What do? I again rise. I keep walking in the path of God consciousness. Again I fall. Again I rise. That is the path of sadhana bhakti. In sadhana bhakti, on the mental level, on the intellectual level, or it may also happen on the sensual level, a practitioner may experience fall down. But he should not become hopeless, because the path of sadhana bhakti involves getting purified slowly and suddenly at one time, as Prabhupada explains. By the desire of the Lord, such sadhaka, by his practice, suddenly at one point of time, as there is lightning and thunder, simultaneously at one time he experiences the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can actually see Lord Krishna face to face. Till then the endeavor has to continue. Fall and rise, fall and rise. Another time, one practitioner came and complained to his spiritual teacher. He said, my teacher, I am listening to your sermons. I am listening to your talk. I am staying here and practicing whatever you say. But I don't experiencing any change in my heart. I don't see God. I don't feel the realization of God. What is it? Is it that the process which you are given is wrong? Something wrong in that process? Or is it that I am not practicing it properly? What is it? I feel hopeless. I lose faith in myself and I also lose faith in the process what you have given to me. And the teacher, he did not answer. He said, go there and take that basket and bring water from that basket. But the practitioner said, but that basket has got many holes. How can I carry water from that basket? He said, just do as I say. So he started following his teacher. He would carry the water in the basket. And because the basket had many holes, however many times he tried, he could not carry any water from the basket. After 10 times, he complained to his teacher. He said, this is a waste of time. So you are asking me to carry water, but when I go there, I bring the water, but the basket has got so many holes, all the water leaks down. I don't carry anything. What is this? And the teacher smiled. He said, my dear son, you do not realize that by carrying water in that basket, apparently it may appear that you are not carrying anything, but you are cleaning that basket. That basket was dirty, but because you are putting that basket in the water, so many times you are not carrying the water, you don't see. But the basket is getting clean. That is how the practice involves. There are many holes which are giving connection with the sense objects. Therefore it may appear that the content of God consciousness is not retained in our heart. But simply allowing ourselves the process of hearing and chanting, something sticks in. Just like in the Ayurvedic medicine, if somebody has a malnutrition, the advice is given by the Vaidya is that you take some ghee. You keep drinking 2, 3, 4, 5 spoons of ghee. And when the patient does that, it is explained especially those who are having malnutrition, very skinny and lean. When they drink the ghee, most of the ghee is discharged in the form of a stool. Now they can't retain anything. But because it is ghee, what is the nature of ghee? the nature of ghee is to stick. So if you drink 4 to 5 spoons of ghee, at least one drop of ghee sticks into your body. When you keep doing it for the rest of your life, what will happen? Slowly, 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 you develop some kind of nutrition. Similarly, sadhana bhakti is like that. When sadhana bhakti is executed with our senses and mind, with the material mind, with the material senses, but the process is pure, chanting and hearing, what happens? Most of it may go away, like ghee, but something will stick. That is the nature of hearing and chanting. It is just like ghee. Something will stick. And because we are allowing something to stick every day, the stock becomes very large. And because we have heard sufficiently, then what happens? The realization downs into our heart at some point of time. That is the process of sadhana bhakti. Srila Prabhupada explains, just like every living entity, just like a mental person is diseased. What is his disease? His disease is mental disease. How that mental disease is cured? That mental disease is cured by the regular advice given by the psychiatrist. When the psychiatrist or psychologist give him a regular dose of advice, slowly, slowly his mental madness is cured. And similarly, what is the madness of the living entity? The madness of the living entity is Nunam Pramattam Kurute Vikarma Yat Indriya Priti Apranoti. The madness of the living entity is that too much of interaction with the sense objects. When the senses are always interacting with the sense object, just like for the example, if there is a small child, when you allow the small child to associate too much with the matter in the form of toys, in the form of something which is dead matter, rather than giving personal affection and love, if you give child a thing which is material, what happens? Because of interacting with matter, you can observe very carefully. When you give a child toy and not yourself, what does the child do? Child drops the toy and steps on it, kicks the toy. That means that sensitivity is not there. And then he extends the same principle to the parents also. He starts kicking them. Depending upon what you give first, you give the dead matter or give the living matter. If you give him the living matter, then even the dead matter he handles as if it is a living thing. But if you give a dead thing, and even eventually the living thing will be taken as dead thing. So therefore here Rishabhdev explains, Nunam Kurute Vikarma. When the living entity interacts too much with the sense object, which is nothing but dead matter, what happens? He becomes mad. He loses all of his sensitivity. He is not aware of his surrounding. That is the madness. And because of that, what does he do? He engages in all kinds of sinful activities. In fact, he does not even realize that he is acting in sinful activities. Why? Because that guilt consciousness is lost. That sensitivity is lost. But when you are told, just like one time Devamrita Swami was mentioning, that in his class one lady came, she was studying her PhD in astrophysics. Very brilliant, very intelligent. But somebody brought her to hear him talk about Krishna consciousness philosophy. Only one time she heard about Krishna consciousness philosophy, and when she heard it, that destroyed her material madness. That created duality in her life. Now she was concentrated, madness of material education. One-pointed concentration. But when this knowledge was given to her, then that created duality. This is good or this is good. And because of that, there was a disturbance in her studies. And therefore she wrote a letter that I don't hate anyone more than you in my life. Why? because you disturb my material life. That's what Krishna consciousness does. When somebody hears about Krishna, just like one Russian devotee, he was imprisoned. And this Russian devotee saw the jailer or the guard outside the jail and he tried to preach to him. When he saw that this person is going to preach to me, he said, "Don't preach to me." He ran away from there. He said, "If you preach to me about God, I'll be convinced and eventually I'll also be with you inside the jail, because I'll also start speaking about this. I don't want to fall into this kind of problem." So the point is that the power of hearing is so great. So Prabhupada explains, material madness can be cured by the process of sadhana bhakti. When we practice devotional service, or the devotional service is practiced, which is called as sadhana bhakti, slowly, slowly all the material madness is removed. And therefore the main process of sadhana bhakti, the primary characteristic of sadhana bhakti is what? Is chanting and hearing. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, he explains that in the next verse, that to remember Krishna, the sadhana bhakti is there. But what is the conclusion of sadhana bhakti? The conclusion of sadhana bhakti is, tasmad kenapi upayena mana Krishna niveshayat. By some means one should learn the art of concentrating on Krishna. One should try to remember Krishna all the time. That is the conclusion of sadhana bhakti. And in the process of sadhana bhakti, to come to this level, it may be very difficult. But Srila Prabhupada explains, it is the duty of an acharya to find ways and means for his disciples to fix his mind on Krishna. Again, that is the beauty of the spiritual master. What the spiritual master does, according to the propensity of a disciple, propensity means our background, our conditioning background. Somebody sings nicely, that is not necessarily his empowered. That is our karma, that is good karma, that we can sing nicely. Somebody speaks nicely, what is it? That is his karma. And all this karma, either good karma or bad karma, if it is not used in the service of the Lord, it increases our contamination. We have to dovetail our propensity in the service of the Lord. If you are a good speaker, if you don't speak about Krishna, then you'll speak about politics. And you'll influence people in a wrong way. If you're a good artist, if you don't paint for Krishna and purify your propensity, you'll paint something nonsense and increase your karmic reaction. Therefore, the duty of the spiritual master, as Prabhupada explains, is to see the background of a disciple and find some ways and means so that he can purify all of his propensities. So along with chanting and hearing, there is also facilities to purify our senses. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, tasmad kenapi upayana. There has to be some means so that he can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya has given this very simple method. What is this method? And it is very powerful, simple, and at the same time very sublime. What is this method? The method of chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we chant Hare Krishna, especially in the association of devotees, we don't realize how powerfully this chanting is affecting. We don't even realize how powerful it is. Now people have come to Krishna with so many intentions. Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto, many motivations people come to Krishna. But some other they come in contact with devotees and chant Hare Krishna. Just like during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, there was Anushilan Samiti, which was the activities of the extremist, the freedom fighter. There were two kinds of freedom fighters. One were extremist and second were not so extremist. Ugragami and Mandagami. So Anushilan Samiti means, Anushilan means cultivation. They were cultivating this extremist towards the British people. So therefore the Britisher would spend their spies to in fact even check out the religious organization also. So two British spies who were Indians, they wanted to check out Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mutt. And they came and stayed as the residents of the mutt. And they would hear attentively. They were more attentive than the mutt devotees. Sometimes the residents of the mutt would go to sleep in the class when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would give talk. But they would not, because they had to take down everything. What is he going to speak? When is he going to speak about attacking the Britishers in an indirect way? Therefore, they were very, very attentive, very carefully listening, taking down the notes. After 6 months of very attentive and submissive listening, they came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, we want to surrender our life to your mission. We want to become brahmacharis. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked, what happened? Who are you? And they revealed their identity. We are such and such people. And our intention was to, you know, test what is your motivation. Why do you give this kind of lecture? But we know that what you are speaking makes sense to us. And we want to dedicate our life to your mission. They actually dedicated their life. They became devotees. So the point is that anyone who comes with any motivation, but if he gives proper oral reception for chanting and hearing, he gets purified. One more famous story, Badri Narayan Prabhu explains that one drug addict, he came to the temple. He was being chased by the police and eventually he saw that there was no other shelter. He just bumped into Hare Krishna temple. He told the devotees, look, you can give me any service, but don't ask me to go outside the temple. I can do 24 hours of service in the temple, but not ask me to go outside. So that he was fearing that if I go outside, the police will catch me. He continued to stay in the temple. He was cleaning the pots. He had not come there to perform devotional service. He had come there to take shelter, to escape from being caught by the police. But when he continued to serve Krishna, and at the same time as he was listening carefully, after 1 year, he came back to the president. He said, my dear such and such devotee, my motivation when I came here was not to become a devotee. I wanted to save myself from the police. But after hearing about Krishna conscious philosophies for the last 1 year, I am convinced that I should be a devotee. Then the president said, what do you mean by that? He said, I was a big drug addict. I was a drug trafficker. I would sell drugs. And one day when the police were chasing me, I just bumped into Hare Krishna temple. And the devotee said, okay, then you have to go to the police, surrender unto them, and say that it is your background. Otherwise, the name of ISKCON should be spoiled, should not be spoiled. He agreed, went to the police. You know, there was a case against him. And he was standing there in the courtroom, and the judge asked him, so what do you do now? He said, I'm a monk. I practice God consciousness. He said, what does that mean? And he said, that means that I don't eat meat, I don't gamble, I don't take intoxication, I don't have illicit sex, I get up early morning 3:30, I take cold showers, I got only 3 sets of clothes. And the judge was about to punish him. He said, that is worse than being hell, so better be there. He said, what is the point in giving punishment to you? Because the judge was seeing from his point of view. He thought that being in temple is worse than being in jail. So many austerities. So he released him. He said, you go back. So this devotee came back to the temple and continued to practice. So the point is, that is the art of applying our senses in the service of the Lord. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that in the Hindu society, this principle of naming their children as Narayan, as Vaman, as Krishna, as Govinda or Keshav was very much prevalent. Why was it like that? That means by some means, parents should remember Krishna, the child should remember Krishna, because constantly somebody is talking about Krishna, the names of Lord are being taken. Without your understanding, we are getting purified. Therefore, in the Tamil literature of Divya Prabandh, a very famous verses compiled by great saints of Sri Sampradaya, one Alwar says, why name your son Nambi and Tambi? That means, you know, my son is fresh. How long will he remain fresh? When he's born, he's fresh, but very quickly he'll become old and stale. So why name like that? Why not name him Krishna and Govinda? Because when you give that name, he said, is there ever birth, old age, disease and death to the mother of Krishna and Govinda? No. She'll go back to Godhead simply by naming her son Krishna and Govinda. Why? Because she is being the mother of Krishna, Murari, Govinda and Ram. He said, why not name them? So that is the principle. Tasmad kenapi upayana. By naming, just naming the son on the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they are repeatedly chanting. In fact, some people tell this story when Ajamil, how he named his son as Narayan. Somebody says this. We have not read anywhere in Prabhupada's books, but these stories are quoted in a traditional storytelling. That Narad Muni happened to come, or one saintly person happened to come to Ajamil. And Ajamil, as Bhagavad describes, because of his bad association, he had become a big burglar. So when he saw this saintly person, he wanted to rob him also, but there was nothing in this saintly person. So he told, now he get out, get lost from here. And the saintly person said, I'm a sadhu, you have to give me something. I'm begging from you. Ajamil said, my mercy, I'm giving you something that I'm not looting you. So you just go away from here. The saint said, no, you have to give me some charity. And he said, okay, I ask charity from you that I see that your wife is pregnant. So just when you get a son, just name him as Narayan. Is there any problem for you? He said, just name your son as Narayan. And Ajamil agreed. What is the matter? He said, I don't lose anything. Why not name my son as Narayan? So named his son as Narayan and just see the difference. Because he chanted the names of God at the time of his death, he was freed from all kinds of sinful reaction. And therefore Prabhupada explains, sadhana bhakti begins with what? Chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. And then Srila Rupa Goswami explains that many, many people, even not positively, negatively they thought of Krishna. Narad Muni quotes, Kamsa was always fearful of Krishna. The Shishupal was always against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all of these people were chanting the names of the Lord, not favorably, but still they got liberation. What to speak of chanting Krishna's name favorably? That is the beginning of Raghavanuga, Sadhana Bhakti. And then Rupa Goswami further explains about two kinds of Sadhana Bhakti. In fact, Bhakti is only two kinds, Sadhana and Sadhya. But our acharyas, to make it more and more scientific for our understanding, they keep dividing, as there is some twist and change of the same process. When sadhana bhakti becomes natural, Prabhupada gives the example. When we are practicing devotional service to Krishna, the order is given by the spiritual master that one should rise up in the morning. It is not so easy to rise up. For those people, especially in the Kali Yuga, they sleep till 10 o'clock in the daytime. They go to sleep at 2 in the night and get up at 10 o'clock. So it is very difficult for them to get up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock and start chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Very difficult in ISKCON, in the Western world. Some devotees say that while chanting Hare Krishna, some devotees, even they would rise, they would jump high while chanting Hare Krishna, and in while jumping in the air itself, they would go to sleep and fall. Now, that much they were accustomed and they were so conditioned to sleep. It was impossible for them to get up at 4 o'clock. Coming to Mangalarti, taking cold showers in the morning, such a difficult task, but that is part of sadhana bhakti. But eventually by doing the same activity for a long time, what happens? One becomes naturally attracted to perform the same activities. Prabhupada writes, it becomes natural. You rise up early morning, you come to Mangalarti, you chant your rounds, you attain the Bhagavatam class. It is the same principle, it is the same sadhana bhakti. In the beginning, it was difficult, it was hard. But because you keep on doing it regularly, that becomes spontaneous and natural. So sadhana bhakti becomes raganuga. That is one understanding of raganuga bhakti. So then, these are the two principles of sadhana bhakti. And Rupa Goswami explains, there is no attachment, no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, engaged out of obedience to the Shastra and Guru. Once again, no attachment, there is no attachment for Krishna. There is no spontaneous loving service to the Lord. One is engaged in the service of the Lord as the obligatory duty or obedience to the words of the Shastra or the spiritual master. And this is called as Vaidhi. Vaidhi means regulated. And Rupa Goswami quotes Srimad Bhagavatam. When Parikshit Maharaj, when he came to know that he will be killed or he will be cursed within 7 days. He was already been cursed. And what was the curse? Within 7 days you will be killed. So he didn't become fearful, but here he came to the sages of all the sages who had gathered on the bank of the Ganga, and he approached the sages, and meanwhile Sukadeva Goswami also came. To die, what am I supposed to do? Then Sukadeva Goswami told him, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichita Bhayam. He said, one who is fearful of death. Now Parikshit, if you see from the pure devotional service point of view, is not fearful. But herein the principle is spoken that anyone who is fearful of death, what he is supposed to do? He has to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times. One is about to die. And Rupa Goswami called this is also sadhana bhakti. There is no spontaneous attraction. Why has he come to chant, hear and remember Krishna? Because he is facing death. There is a principle of fear that this will happen to me. I am going to die within 7 days. That is also sadhana bhakti. When there is fear of God, fear of death, fear of the future consequences, and then somebody approaches God consciousness, that also becomes part of sadhana bhakti. It is said that fear is the beginning of love of God. So Parikshit Maharaj is portrayed in this verse like that. That because of fear he came to Krishna. Or there is an obligatory duty that okay, I have to do it. That also becomes sadhana bhakti. Like for varanas and ashramas. Because there is obligation of varana and ashrama, I am born in a Brahmin family, these are my duties. I am born in a Kshatriya family, these are my duties. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Bali Maharaj came to know that one who is approached to me is Vamandev. What was the fear? There was no spontaneous attraction for Lord Vamandev. Rather, there was a fear, being a Kshatriya, if I do not fulfill my promise, I will go to hell. And that to whom I promised to Lord Vishnu, who is the source of everything. If I can't fulfill my promise, I will go to hell. Rather, I am willing to give up my life, but not complete my promise. So the principle of duty was involved. And because that principle of duty was connected to Lord Vishnu, and that sadhana, where that sadhana led him? That sadhana led him to attain pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma. That one who is fearful, he should approach Krishna. Therefore, people come with different motivations. Somebody comes with the motivation of fear. Someone comes with the motivation of becoming peaceful. Someone comes with the motivation of attaining something. But because they engage in sadhana bhakti, by the expert arrangement of a pure devotee, all of their material contaminations are purified, and eventually by practicing sadhana bhakti, they become pure devotees. And Prabhupada explains, Vaidhi means no refusal or no question asked. Just doing it. No argument. It's a military discipline. Just like in American Marine. They wake up in the middle of the night, and then the cop is told, okay, what is this? Even though he's carrying gun, he has to tell this is pistol, this is revolver. So they give contradictory instructions. Even though mind reasons something else, your intelligence reasons something else, the discipline is so great, that submission is so great, that you are not supposed to use your intelligence. You have to just follow as the order given by the superiors. Just like our Shikshastakam Prabhu was saying, that how in the army, air force and navy, the principle of submission and discipline is given primary importance. And reciprocating that discipline. One time one cadet, when he was performing his duty, his officer was passing by. And because he was a little inattentive, he did not offer respect to his officer. And the officer came to him and said, because of this wrong behavior, I punish you till evening, you should continue to salute me. You stand here in the day sun and continue saluting till evening. That is the punishment. And he stood there and he was saluting. And the officer went away from there. And then after some time, the superior of the superior was passing by. And he saw that this cadet is offering, salute, and nobody is there to receive it. He came, he was very fascinated. He came, what's happening here? He said, sir, I was little inattentive in offering respect to my boss, and therefore I am being punished. He said, this is very bad. He said, our policy is that if somebody is saluting, there has to be someone to accept it. So he called his junior who had ordered this. He said, you stand here, he will salute you till evening and you accept till evening. That is called sadhana bhakti. No question asked. Keep chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this way, even if somebody does not like, we don't accept devotional service because we like it. We don't reject devotional service because we don't like it. There is no question of liking or not liking. It's a military discipline. When we accept with that intention, with that understanding, it's not a question of liking or not liking. I have to chant Hare Krishna. I have to follow the four regulative principle. I have to just take Krishna Prasad. I have to come for the Mangal Arati. I have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Doesn't matter who is giving class. Then when that military discipline is there, then the dormant love for Krishna will be awakened. And then Rupa Goswami gives next principle in sadhana bhakti. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavya na jatuchit sarve vidhi nishadasyor etayor eva kinkaraha. What is the principle of sadhana bhakti? That all the rules and regulations are the subservient of this principle. What is this principle? The principle of smartavyam satatam Vishnur. All the other rules and regulation, taking bath or not taking bath, coming to the temple or not coming to the temple, eating from right hand or not eating from the left hand, all so-called rules are there. Not using this index finger for holding the japa mala, not chanting from the left hand, all the rules of doing and not doing, all these rules are subservient to the principle of always remembering Krishna and not forgetting Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur raises one question. He said 24 hours remembrance of Krishna is not the character of sadhaka. It is not possible for him to do. He said 24 remembrance of Krishna is the natural character of a pure devotee of the Lord. Everything evokes the remembrance of the Lord. So what do you mean by satatam, all the time? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, smartavyam satatam means in a regulated way. Sometimes we see some people object, why do you hold your japamala and chant Hare Krishna? It is simply, you know, you are restricting yourself, you are being artificial. And you have to concentrate, you have to think about your japamala. You are in connection with some kind of matter. Therefore you can actually not think properly Krishna. Best is that don't hold, just keep chanting Hare Krishna. Actually some devotees said, okay, if you think like that, they gave them the counter. He said, you take this counter, you are always chanting Hare Krishna. You are always remembering Hare Krishna, take this counter and just click all the time. And in the end of the day, see how many times you have chanted. And those who claim that I am always chanting Hare Krishna, I don't need Japamala, they realize that they don't even chant 10 names of God. Why? Because the mind tricks. Therefore, all these regulations are there. You have to hold a mala, you have to take a mala. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he did? When he was traveling to South India, Nityanand Prabhu was presenting this argument. My dear Lord, you have to take some assistant. Why some assistant? Because in one hand you are carrying your kamandalu, and on the other hand there is a mala through which you are counting your names. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would count. Why? Counting gives a real understanding that how much you are able to think of Krishna. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when we say satatam, it is not possible for a sadhaka. A sadhaka can only remember Krishna. He should try to remember Krishna in a regulated way. Just like Srila Prabhupada, I have heard this, again I have not read, some devotees say, that as a grahastha, he chanted his 16 rounds by dividing in 4 time factors. Morning 4 rounds, afternoon 4 rounds, evening 4 rounds and night 4 rounds. Of course, most of us, we cannot, therefore we just chant in the morning. If it is so difficult in the morning hours, what to speak of in the night hours? Prabhupada could manage it. Because he was already pure devotee from very beginning. So best is to finish in the morning. That is regulated chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna in the morning, 16 rounds. Just like this principle is also spoken by Chanakya Pandit. He says, the intelligent people, what do they do? Prata Dyuta Prasangad. Madhyana Stri Prasangad. Ratrau Chaura Prasangad. Kale Gachati Dhimatam. He says, the intelligent people, what do? They spend their time in the morning remembering about gambling match. That means, they hear Mahabharata. In the afternoon, what do? When they come back from their occupational duty, which was the traditional way of working, come back in the afternoon, take lunch with the family members and hear some more Krishna Katha. Madhyana Stri Prasangad, they hear about Ramayana. And Ratrau Chaura Prasangad, and in the night time, hear about Krishna Katha. As Prabhupada said, anyone who sleeps reading Krishna book will have nice dreams in the night. No nightmares. So this is the principle of sadhana bhakti. When there is a regulated remembering of Krishna with proper force, then eventually we can come to the level of Satatam, we can always remember Krishna. But artificially trying to remember Krishna all the time is not possible. We had one brahmachari in the temple in early days. He would put a batch here that always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. And he would walk around all over Bombay putting that card just to remind himself that one should remember Krishna all the time. So here Sanatana Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when a sadhaka remembers Krishna in a regulated way, he does not confuse. While doing sadhana, he does sadhana. We have seen, those who do their sadhana at right time, they also engage in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, while they are supposed to engage in practical devotional service, if they say that I am chanting Hare Krishna, then you can know that their chanting is not so good. Because it's a sandwich. Sandwich is of morning sadhana, night sadhana, and daytime solid devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when that is there, one's progress in devotional service is guaranteed. And then eventually that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead will develop. So the next part we will discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, yes, one question. Mike is coming.
Hare Krishna. I don't know whether we have time enough, but I would show my ignorance still. I mean, devotion is a natural instinct, as we said, of a human being. But then there are many other natural instincts which may be a little more powerful. For example, to earn money, to be famous, to earn the name, and even to some extent, for example, some people talk that why India loses in the cricket to Pakistan, because they don't have killing instinct. Mm. So like that, we have many other instincts which may be more powerful than devotion. Now, how to identify? How does a normal man identify this natural instinct of devotion, which may not be as powerful but very important? And even if this realization comes and this identification comes, his natural instinct becomes a desire to become one with the God, and then again it's a obstruction to the devotion. So there is no rise and fall. There is only fall, and fall. For example, now Dhruv Maharaj. Now Dhruv Maharaj had an instinct to become the most powerful person in the world. Now, fortunately, and by the mercy of God, he met Narada. But everybody else is not so fortunate that he gets a proper person, a proper guru. Now, then again steep fall. What is the way that a normal person like me, he identifies that this instinct, devotional instinct which is in me, should be more important rather than powerful. Powerful may be other things. And then, so, you know, all these things which is devotional service we discuss today, it may come when we are exposed to the devotion. The problem is that we are not being exposed to the devotion. How to do that?
So therefore, Prabhupada explains, all the time he would talk about what was the culture of India. From early childhood, children were exposed to hear Mahabharata and Ramayana. That was already always there. But unfortunately, nowadays it is not like that. What you are exposed to is something which is foreign to you. When you say the desire to earn money, desire to become famous, desire to have a killer's instinct, all this thing is what? Is when you are exposed to the matter, it is artificial, it does not remain last, it does not remain long. Even the best cricketer, how long can he play? Even the killer instinct players, you know, big boxers, how long it remains? It is artificially cultivated. And because it is artificially cultivated, it does not give you satisfaction at ultimate end. Like recently, Radhanand Maharaj is mentioning that one famous baseball player in America who played continuous 413 match, and he had to play one match. And very famous player. So he was, suddenly he said that I am not going to play this match. He was about to make a world record of, you know, playing non-stop 414th game, and suddenly stopped, and it was a very important match. And they asked him, why you don't want to play? What is the problem? He said, because the day when I am supposed to play match is the day of Yom Kippurs. Yom Kippurs is a Jewish holiday. And it's a fast day. And that fast day, according to their laws, one is not supposed to earn money. One is not supposed to engage in frivolous activities. One is only supposed to engage in reading the scriptures and performing fast. And most people told, you know, you are the most famous, you know, forget about that, just play. And he made a statement. He says, there are many more things in the life which are more important than playing baseball. And he said, even if I play so many baseball games, that will not give me satisfaction. What satisfaction will give me is to continue with the connection of my religious faith. He said, therefore, I don't mind losing my record. I don't mind losing my game, but I mind, you know, fasting on this day. So even such a person who is very famous, he realized the value of religious practice, which is considered as the eternal principle. Because how long will he play as a baseball player? So therefore, these instincts are foreign to us. They are artificial. The mere fact is that you developed at certain age. We find some people, you know, that suddenly they become big. For many years they never played, and suddenly at certain age, you know, they become very famous. And there are hundreds and thousands of people. How many people at Shivaji Park practice wanting to become big players? Why not everybody becomes? Why? Because, you know, that potential is not there. But devotional service is not like that. Anybody who comes in contact with Krishna at any point of time, at any stage of life, just like that person in Poland, one elderly man, he was just entering inside the departmental store, and one devotee caught him and he gave him Bhagavad Gita as it is. The nice picture of Krishna riding Arjuna's horses, Arjuna is shooting arrows. He showed him that book. He became so fascinated by that book, he was kept on looking on that book. His eyes became as big as the eyes of Lord Jagannath. And he purchased it. And he kept on looking, and this devotee kept on preaching. This is all within 5 minutes. And this person collapsed on the ground, this elderly man. He became black and blue. You know, his breathing stopped. And people started pumping him. But what was he doing? The people were pumping, but this devotee was constantly chanting for this person. And this man, while holding the Bhagavad Gita in his hand, tightly, looking at the picture of Krishna, he dropped dead. How long it took for him to evoke his Krishna consciousness? Not more than 5 minutes. That is the power of devotional service. If you say, okay, now I want to develop my killer's instinct, is it possible? No. But devotional service is possible. Why is it possible? Because it is already there. So by some means, if we come in contact with devotees, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. By the compassionate desire of a pure devotee, you know, the arrangements will be made. It is already made that therefore we are all here to practice devotional service. We have to just stick to it with patience, and then it will come to at surface, and we can experience Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai.
को एक उपाय मिला बचे रहने का, क्योंकि मेरा ट्रेन का टाइम हो गया.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare